tell you what, though,
or something like that.
You need a nice pair of glasses with some thick black frames if you want to get started.
Is that what the guy on the line rocks, or is that what you're talking about? What you're rocking right now?
I think Connor wears glasses. I wear specs too, man. We look 10% smarter when we do.
Well, let's bring him in. Connor Carrick, former Maple Leafs defenseman, host of the Curious Competitor podcast. Connor, how are you?
Frankie, Mike, what's up, guys? I actually got LASIK, but I used to wear the glasses, and all it did was get me traded, so I'm not sure that's the the gravy train, but it can't hurt, I'm sure.
Oh, man.
That's jokes.
It's nice to hear from you, buddy. We were talking a little bit about Andrew Cogliano, and, you know, he was just saying how fully invested in sacrificing himself to win the Stanley Cup with Colorado he was. And you and I were talking about, and we were talking on your podcast about how we both played through significant injuries at certain points through our careers. And, you know, maybe you can just touch on the mental warfare as well as the physical warfare you go through when you do that. And where are you at with guys doing that? Like, is it safe? Is it okay? Like, do you want to see guys doing that kind of stuff?
Well, it's definitely not safe. There's very few things that are good for health and longevity about pro sport, and particularly hockey. Andrew Cogliano, from a work ethic perspective and for a pain tolerance perspective, he's demonic. He's possessed, and he plays like that. He trains like that. We would have optional morning skates. I cross paths room real quick for a cup of coffee, and I know you know that term well, Frankie.
Oh, yeah.
In Dallas, and you take these optional pregame skates, and you know most guys kind of dip their toe in the water, and he would come out like he was shot out of a cannon and do, you know, 55 crossovers, rip a shot, grab another puck in the other corner, do these figure eights, and there was no off switch on the guy. And I don't think it's going anywhere, guys. There's a lot behind our careers, and guys are excited to play at the pinnacle. There's always a lot to lose. I think that's what always went through my mind anytime I played through something, was just the stages of grief. I couldn't believe what had happened.
Yeah,
I was going to try and deny it to be true, but eventually physiology grabs a hold of you, and you can only push it so far.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And someone's coming to take your spot. Someone's ready to go.
Well, I think the guy you're also kind of talking about, too, talking about guys who played through injury. Should he have? Maybe not. But Nazem Kadri, right? He had a six-week timeline, pushed it back, was able to return in just 2 weeks, and went on to win himself a Stanley Cup. Connor, I'm not sure how much you were tracking the Cup Finals, but I mean, what can you say about Nazem Kadri and the determination of what that guy is? I know you played with him here in Toronto for a little bit.
He's a competitor. He wants to win. You can use these words about a lot of guys because we are talking about our sport. It's a tough sport by nature, and we're talking about the highest level. And the Stanley Cup is the creme de la creme. And Nazem has earned the right to be a high-end center on a couple teams that have really eyed the Stanley Cup and think that they had a shot to win. He was always, not always in practice, as Frankie can say, but when the lights are on.
That's what they call a gamer. That's what they call a gamer, right?
If there was ever a gamer, if the term gamer didn't exist before Nazem Kadri, I like to call him Dream. But before Dream, he would have invented it. So it was fun to watch him win. He obviously had a little spice in his post game interview. That's well documented. I won't be the first or the last guy to bring that up.
Oh yeah, we loved it here.
But at a bare minimum, fun to see him do it.
Connor, the Sedin twins and Roberto Luongo, my former teammates, getting the call to the Hall of Fame, which I thought was really cool. The fact that I got to share the ice with these guys, and I was telling Al's brother here a little bit about my little bit of a welcome to the NHL moment, where I was 18 years old at training camp, and I had a 2-on-1 with the Sedin twins, and they did the old sauce pass right over the stick, right on the tape in the back of the net. And just kind of wondering from you, like, what was your first welcome to the NHL moment that really made you realize, oh wow, this is different, and I'm here. I'm in it now.
Well, my first NHL game was against the Stanley Cup defending Blackhawks, the Chicago Blackhawks, which is my hometown, right? And so I had hundreds of people there. They're raising the cup banner. They got the lights coming on as you're coming out, that historic and famous anthem. I'm on a 3-on-2. I want to say it was the third period. It was the third period with Nick Backstrom, number 19, if you haven't heard of him, and Alex Ovechkin's on the right side because Adam Oates had him playing on the right side. If you'll remember, he wasn't on his famous left side. I get a puck as a trailer. I don't know if Nick Backstrom usually knows exactly who he's passing to. I think he might have thought I was somebody else. I used to wear my equipment like Mike Green on purpose just to get more pucks from him.
Yeah.
And he hits me, and Duncan Keith kind of was shadowing eight, as he should. And he starts to come towards me. So I'm all excited. I'm like, Alex Ovechkin's open. This is the easiest play I'll make all night. And Duncan Keith and all of his Hall of Famedom type defenseman, he fooled me, backed right off, plucked my pass, my one touch over, and he one touched it to a taken off Brandon Saad. He must have seen this act before too, and yeah, it wasn't a great goal, but it was a big goal for them. He saw a big slap shot from just inside the blue line, goes in. I think they went up one or two at that point. I'm thinking, what happened?
Well, I don't know if you experienced this playing against the Blackhawks in that era. I played my first NHL game against them as well, and it was in 2013, and they won the cup that year. And someone before the game, I think it was Dan Hamhuis before the game, told me, he goes, when you make a point shot, he goes, be careful, because if Duncan Keith or Seabrook, if one of these guys knock it down and Kane's on the ice, Kane's not going to stop. He's actually just going to skate right to the far blue line and look for the breakaway pass. And I've never heard of this before, because I'm coming from junior hockey. And sure enough, at one point during the game, I let the little muffin floater go from the blue line. You know that shot, Seas. You've seen it before. And someone knocks it down, and I look back. I'm like, oh boy, there he is. That's Kane. And I think they didn't connect on it. And it didn't go for an icing. Our goalie, Corey Schneider, played it. But that was like Chicago, man. They were so wily in that time, and they could catch you sleeping, especially if you're a young guy.
Oh, best defense is a good offense, as written by, you know, that might be the autobiography of Pat Kane, number 88.
Yeah.
Special player. We had a similar circumstance the next year where I was on the team where Matthews and Marner were playing Taze and Kane for the first time. And Mike Babcock, I thought it was hilarious, telling guys to get their autographs out of the way in warm-ups, and when we play, it's for real. And we're not going to over-respect these guys. We're going to take time and space. Like the first play, I came down the wall to take away Kane, and they high-flipped the puck. I forget who was out in the neutrals when I turned around, and William Nylander's taking a one-on-one. And I got two, and I got back to the bench. And I'm licking my laurels. I'm thinking, you know, I thought we just had the rah-rah, go get them, don't over-respect them speech, but...
Was that the one we got shelled? Did we get shelled that night and then Babs lost his mind after the first period?
I think so.
Yeah, I remember that one. So I didn't play that game, but I was at Eataly crushing some gelato with Griffith. And I got a call from Brad Holland, our team services guy, at like 5:30. Goes, Hunwick's not feeling well. You got to get to the rink and take warm up. I go, Brad.
Oh no!
I'm gonna finish this gelato and then I'm on my way, buddy.
Eataly's a good spot. They just opened one in Toronto. I saw too. I was up there recently.
Oh yeah.
So maybe when I'm up there next, gelato on you.
Oh Eataly, yeah, buddy.
Yorkville.
In conversation with Connor Carrick, former Maple Leafs defenseman and the host of the Curious Competitor podcast. And just on the topic of Auston Matthews, clearly he just went out and had an absolutely brilliant campaign, taking home the Ted Lindsay, the Hart Trophy. I mean, you were there young in his career. Did you envision him turning into the superstar that he is today?
Yes, I don't think I was alone in that opinion. When he had four goals that first night, I was like, I guess he's on pace for 200 plus this year. Like, what's the math on this?
Yeah.
And he's ripping pucks out of Eric Carlson's hands, and he's gonna challenge the status quo in a lot of ways. He scores in a lot of ways. He's big. There was a Barry Trotz quote about Anze Kopitar a couple years ago when I was in Washington's organization, and a couple years ago. This is probably 10 years ago now. And he said something about, you know, he's bigger than you think, he's faster than you think, he's more skilled than you think. And I think that's exponentially true for 34.
Connor, I know you're not a local guy here in Toronto, but and anytime a local player from here comes home and plays for the Leafs, they talk about how special it is. You can talk about Original Six, history, playing in front of family, all that kind of stuff. But for you, being a guy from Chicago, you did get a chance to play for the Leafs, an Original Six team. Was there anything special about wearing the Maple Leaf for you?
I mean, a ton. For one, I got to share it with you. We had a good time. No, I mean, it's a beautiful jersey. As a player, come on, there's nothing better than putting on, you know, some threads that you really are you look good in. And I was always jealous as an American kid. I loved the culture of hockey in Canada. I loved seeing hockey players I knew on billboards. I loved seeing it in TV commercials. I loved when I turned on TSN, SportsCenter, and in the top 10 there'd be seven hockey plays versus one play every 2 weeks. like it was in the U.S. at the time. And I'm a couple years removed, right? And hindsight's 2020. You have a different sense of perspective. Some of, you know, the most exciting, nerve-wracking. I know you know the experience,
Frankie, yeah.
for what it was like to play in that market, particularly with some of the circumstances that we did.
Well, you and I don't know if you remember, like, you and I got paired together in February of 2017 against the Rangers, and I hadn't played in like 3 months, and I'm thinking like, oh man, poor Carrick's got to play with me tonight. Like, I haven't played in 3 months. I've been eating pizza every game and popcorn, and Babcock's making a big deal about it, saying, you want an opportunity, so you got one here tonight. And I'm thinking like, oh, okay, man, like, way to put more pressure on me. Thanks. Like, it wasn't enough already.
Yeah, it was a unique environment. I remember that game supremely well, and wanting to play well for you. I don't think we did.
No, we got split up in like the first 50, period. 50 you remember that? We got split up.
I do. And I remember the Michael Grabner clip. There was a face-off offensive zone, left side. You were playing the left. I was playing the right.
Yeah.
Two right shots, and there was like a 50-50 puck. I go to lunge forward. Our forward chips it through my feet. I don't remember who it was, and I was in a standstill. Michael Grabner was already on his way.
He's the fastest player in the world.
En route to catch him. I think what do you have that year? He had a ton of.
Yeah, he had a 36.
He had a big year in the island.
Yeah,
on the island. Yeah, like 36
and,
or something.
We showed the clip the next day, and you know, Frank, you actually do the impersonation better. I used to have it a little fresher. I got to get my reps in. And he's like, you know, for Christ's sake, you gotta skate.
Oh,
you gotta catch
I do remember
guy.
That. I remember that.
Myself, I'm like. Like, yeah, I'm not. We can count on one hand the demon in this league. They're going to catch that guy, and they're not making what I'm making. And no. At some point, you get what you pay for.
But you know what, too? Like, and you think about as a player, all those video sessions you had, and like most of the video sessions were pretty informative. Like, and it doesn't matter who the coach is; it's more like big picture, philosophical stuff, structural stuff.
Right.
Anytime a coach wants to bring out like a one-on-one mishap or a bobbled puck or stuff like that, they're really making a point. You know, they're really making a point. It's like that's not really necessary. The rest of the group doesn't need to see that I didn't catch Michael Grabner on a breakaway. You know what the group needs to see? Where our D zone breakdowns were, where our neutral zone breakdowns were. So you can just, you know, it's kind of nonsense. And but you know, speaking of that, Connor, like, you and I have both had pretty interesting careers, and we've had ups, we've had downs. Are there any, I guess, lessons you learned along the way that you would have liked to have learned earlier on in your career?
Yeah, keep getting better. That's the focus. There's a certain quality of you know, puck play, and you got to be in a certain level of shape. You got to be skating in a certain way to be able to continuously compete at the NHL level. And there's always something outside what your coaching staff trying to bring to your attention that you can learn and study on your own. That was you know, frankly, coached out of me in my Toronto days, and I really regret being talked out of myself. What had gotten me to that level? What was enjoyable for me about playing the sport? And you know what it is, Frankie, you can't replicate. Look at the veteran players when we played. There's a thickness of skin. There was a resiliency.
Oh, yeah.
There was a knowingness that they had hard-earned, developed over their callous years. And, you know, sometimes there's only one way to go through it, and that's to go through it.
We're in conversation with Connor Carrick, former Maple Leafs defenseman and the host of the Curious Competitor podcast. I want to ask you about that podcast, Connor, because you started it back during the pandemic, if I'm not mistaken. What made you want to get into the podcast world?
I like talking. I like podcasts.
Yeah, fair enough. But Frank,
I do. I feel I really enjoyed you know, the mental stimulation, the exploration. You know how Frank it is. Hockey's a beautiful sport, but it's talking about the same thing.
Well, and also, too, our wives get sick of hearing from us, too. It's like we got to talk to someone else, right?
We do. And I think, you know, the hockey world, you see a lot of people like-minded like you. They look like you. They walk like you. They're the same ethnicity as you, a lot of them. And from similar parts of the world. And there is, you know, some diversity in our game. But just the diversity of conversation, the length. I think was something I was interested in, the attention needed to host a podcast. It's been really enjoyable. I haven't, you know, I am trying to balance what I feel like is sometimes three full-time jobs, being an athlete, being a dad and husband, and, you know, trying to be a creator of sort. and I want to give my all to all of them, but you only have so much brain space. You only have so much capacity. So
yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed doing it, and we'll see what the next level looks like for it.
Well, I don't know if you saw Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors got a little bit of flack when he was going through the podcast. He was doing it during the finals, like after the game, going in there, talking about the game. And I know the media brought that up and was talking about how potentially they were giving away some trade secrets. Is that something that, would you do that if you're in the middle of the playoffs? I mean, you're going to get on there and keep doing it? Or do you think that you probably would put it aside and focus on the game?
It depends. Generally, the way I function is I have a lot of them banked ahead of time, and we'll have a release schedule of sort. In terms of real-time analysis on the game, I mean, that's juicy stuff, right? It's obviously come up in our conversation. I think basketball's done a really good job taking a side, willing to go past blending in and establish personality. Draymond Green is a big figure in Golden State. We'll go on to do plenty of successful business ventures. It just depends on what kind of experience you want. And if you want to be quiet and focused, right? We talked about Andrew Calviano in his interview. I was listening to, I think it was, you know, Freeman, Elliot Freeman had mentioned something about an interview with Kevin Bieksa and how he iced him pretty good. And then the Stanley Cup was finally awarded. He had joked that, okay, I'm ready for the interview with Kevin now. And I you know, that being previous friends. So it just depends on your personality type and your role on the team. You know, Draymond Green's well established and has had a lot of success, and I think has that creative leniency and leash available. As far as trade secrets, I'm never going to do that, because I'll do anything to win. I'd like to, you know, I'll break hands if I have to. I'll you know, set a dump and puck in to shoot at your feet. Like I read Chris Chelios' book a few years ago and figured out, oh, that's how you play in the playoffs. And that's not the lane I operate in.
Connor, before we let you go, what's summer look like for you? You're an unrestricted free agent. You're going to be busy training. You've got a kid. You got a pup. What's cooking for the summer?
Yeah, I was going to ask how much longer this is going to go, because I got a bunch of clubs calling me right now. No, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens. You know, spent a lot of the year in the minors, but you know, did really well, and so hopefully there'll be some options for me. I got a trip actually. The Frankie Corrado's homeland. I'm going to Italy.
Oh, nice.
A wedding overseas and doing a trip to Italy for the first time with my wife. And I regrettably talked her out of that for our honeymoon a few years back. So a little fun. And then right on the other side of that, a whole lot of work I'm excited for. So a lot going on, man.
Nice. Right on. Yeah. Sounds like that'd be awesome. Get yourself that pizza in you, because it is good.
Yeah,
pizza,
don't be shy to have a couple carbs out there, man. Yeah. I know you're disciplined. I see you. You eat the greens and the meat, and you got all your supplements, and have a pizza, man.
One in Rome.
Do it for
me. It's a saying for a reason.
I'm going to live forever or die trying. That's my longevity. I didn't make that up. But I also know what a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity looks like, and this will be the first time over there. The culture, the food, the enjoyment's a big part of it. Might dabble with some red wine. We'll see how it goes. And, yeah, I mean, I play with guys. You play with guys. You can survive if you got good hands, the puck boys going back on plays, it can find the middle pop. You got room for a little
Dude,
red wine. And
I've played with guys that treat their body and diet like it's Wonderland. Like, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like,
I think it was Ocho Cinco, the football player, literally his diet was like Big Macs before games. I swear to you, this guy's shoveling Big Macs.
Let me ask Connor this then. If you come back here to Toronto, you think we can get down to the Scotiabank Arena and fire up a pregame meal? You think someone would make us that rosé sauce again?
Oh, that'd be fantastic. And those crispy like, chicken thighs.
Oh, my God.
You think
God.
We get the cookie with our number on them again?
Yeah. See, we need that. Not only do we need it, we deserve it.
Okay.
So
we deserve it.
Yeah. I need that story in a second, Frankie.
I'll bring the candles.
Love it, buddy.
I need that story in a second, Frankie. But Connor, want to wish you thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, and wish you luck next season, pal.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
All the best. Appreciate it. See you, Frankie.
Right. There he is, Connor Carrick, former Maple Leaf defenseman, host of the Curious Competitor podcast, where you can get wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, give
from.
It a listen. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's not just hockey. It's everything. It's
like
awesome.
The Rogan of hockey players.
Yeah,
talk
there you
about
go.
It all. Talk there about it all. You guys mentioned Kadri, though. Not a practice player?
Dude, when I told you this guy is the definition of a gamer, could you not read between the lines on that a little bit?
Not in that way. I didn't really think about it, to be honest with you, but it's like this guy just full-blown mails it in practice, and then game comes in.
No, he's a professional. Well, he's a professional. He doesn't mail it in practice.
First guy I thought of, though, was Iverson.